If everybody's ready, let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. As I mentioned earlier, this month, and I'm not sure anybody knows the exact day, maybe Brother Emmanuel does, but we have reached the 25-year mark from the day that we were established way back in May of 1996 in the living room of Brother Jim Bear. And under normal conditions, we would probably make a big banner like we did 5 years ago. We would invite a lot of people into the church house. We'd have a special anniversary service. But these are not normal conditions, and we're not able to go to the church house and meet together, gather together. But that doesn't mean that we should not take some time to reflect on how good and how faithful God has been to us, and how Jesus has led us all the way, and how we can still expect that he will continue to help us and to sustain us in the coming years in Kuwait. It's kind of strange. This past month, I've had a record number of people asking me what I'm going to do now. Am I going to stay in Kuwait? I don't understand that. I don't understand why anything should change. My wife is gone, but the ministry hasn't changed. God still has something for us to do here. So let's see what we can learn about the Lord today and how he has been with us these 25 years and even before. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, let me just fill you in on what has happened up to this point. The Israelites, they had just fought a great battle here. And through Samuel's intercession and through God's stepping on the scene to meet the need, they have won a great victory, and God has blessed them. God has rewarded them. And of course, they're getting ready to go out and fight, but they've already won a victory. They have fasted, they have prayed, they have repented, they've cried and called on God, they've offered a lamb unto the Lord, and God has delivered the Philistines into their hand, and they've won a great victory. And so the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 11, "And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now we sing in that song, "Come Thou Fount," we sing those words, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good blessing safely to arrive at home." Now, you know, there's several things that the devil does to deceive us. He wants to get us worrying over the future. He'll get us worrying over the future and, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my Christian life? Well, I've found one of the best ways to keep that devil from getting an advantage over me and worrying about the future is to go back and review the past and see what God has done for me in my life. Now, with having said that, the second thing that the devil likes to do, once you begin to go back and look at that past, he wants to get you occupied with your failures and your shortcomings. You know, look what you did there. Look what you did that time, or the wrong that you've done in the past, you know, instead of concentrating and focusing on what God has done for you in the past. Okay, so you got to be careful there. Now, what I want to do today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about this one verse of scripture, about this statement right there. Hitherto means up until this time, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, can't you say that today? I mean, couldn't every one of us stand up today and say, here I raise mine Ebenezer, up to this point in time, up to this place in my life, God has helped me. I wouldn't be here. I couldn't be here. I wouldn't be in the situation and the circumstances and the blessings and favorable conditions that I'm in today had it not been for the help of God in my life. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I want to talk to you about that today and try my best to be an encouragement and a blessing to you. Before we do, let's pray together one more time. Heavenly Father, we do look back and remember all the ways that you have sustained us in our church and in our personal lives. And Lord, times when perhaps we might have thought we should just give up and quit, Lord, you helped us. And you showed us that you were still with us. And we know, Lord, even in these dark times right now with this pandemic, we know that you're still with us. You're still helping us to find ways to fellowship together and to get the gospel out. Father, we're grateful for that. We pray, Lord, that if anybody is on the edge or anybody on the verge of and thinking that maybe they should just give up and quit, but I pray, Lord, that you will show them today that you're still there, you're still helping, and you will help until the time of the rapture. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll encourage us today by this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I don't have real stones here with me, but the first stone that I'd like to raise today, the first aspect of my Ebenezer that I'd like to present before you today, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, is in the matter of my salvation, in the matter of my salvation. You know, I was lost one time. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was alone in the world without hope and without God. And not only that, the worst part of it was I just didn't care. It didn't bother me. I was like the man that wrote that hymn at Calvary. He wrote, "Years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified." But you know something? I was on my way to hell. I was lost. I was blind. I was wicked. I was unkind. I was uncaring. I was as much a heathen as anybody that ever lived on the face of this earth. I was just as deserving of hell as anybody's ever deserved to go to hell. And you know what that Bible talks about? That Bible talks about God's Son dying on the cross, God's blood being shed, God's Holy Spirit convicting me, God's Word enlightening me, God's seed giving me God's birth and imparting unto me God's life. And you know something? I can confidently say to you today, I'm saved. I am on my way to heaven. My sins have been taken away. Hell is no longer my future. I've got a home in heaven, and I can say that today because hitherto the Lord has helped me. God did that for me. God helped me when I was helpless, when I needed help that no one else could give. The Lord helped me. Now, you know something? I just want to raise up a little stone here today, a memorial. I just want to raise up a little remembrance here today. And I want to tell you that, and anybody that will hear, if the devil's listening even, I want him to know those unclean spirits that always sneak in whenever God's word is being preached. I want them to hear this. I am saved because God helped me. And I appreciate that. I don't know what's going to happen from here on out. I don't, but I do know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what lies before me, but I know this. When I was at my worst, God gave his best for me. Hitherto, up to this point, the Lord has certainly helped me. He helped me when he saved my soul when it needed to be saved. So here I will raise mine Ebenezer. I'm saved. God saved me, and I appreciate that. never forget it. I want to raise up something else. I want to raise up another stone here, another Ebenezer. The Lord helped me in nursing me. The Lord helped me in nursing me. I was a brand new baby Christian. I didn't know right from wrong. I didn't know good from evil. I didn't know what God wanted me to do from what the devil wanted me to do. I didn't know the way of life from the way of death. I didn't know righteousness from unrighteousness. I didn't know what church to go to. I didn't know what Bible to read. I didn't know what kind of Christians to fellowship with. I didn't know what sort of professing believers to associate myself with. I didn't know anything. But God, I'm telling you, God helped me. God helped me. He knew that I wanted the truth. And he sent me some men that would teach me the truth. He knew I wanted the right word. He sent me a conviction about where the right Bible was. He knew I wanted to serve him. He sent some people that would teach me to serve him. I didn't know where to go. That Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Well, I came out. I was born again. I was a brand new baby. I wanted to eat. I wanted to be fed. I wanted to grow in grace, but I didn't know what to do. I was just as helpless as a brand new baby, but God helped me, got me to the right kind of people. God got me in the right kind of fellowship. God led me to the right Bible. God showed me the right foundational truths from that Bible. I want to tell you today, hitherto, hath the Lord helped me. I thank God for that. You say, boy, Brother Bob, what about all these cults? What about all these false religions? What about all these people in these churches teaching false doctrines and everything else? Well, you know why I'm not in one of those today? God helped me. I'm telling you, you know, I'm not just as blind as a bat spiritually. You know why I'm not just as confused and as a mad hatter. You know why? God helped me. God helped me. In fact, he helped me just as sure as he helps all of his creatures out there in the wild. Did you ever consider all those animals out there in the wild? They are born in the wild, and their mother, she never had a birthing class. Those animals out there, they don't get any kind of training, any kind of preparation on how to give birth and then how to take care of those babes and raise them until they leave the nest or leave the den. Right away, that mother cleans that baby, takes care of herself, and that newborn critter, whatever it is, within 15 minutes, it's cleaned up. And it's trying to get to its feet, and it's looking for food. And guess what? It knows exactly where to find that food. Now, if you ever witness an animal give birth and watch all of that take place, you will just glory in what God has done. And you'll be amazed as you watch it take place, especially as you consider, where did that newborn animal learn where the milk was? And if you ask a child that question, you'll find out those children, they're a whole lot smarter than an atheist is, because they can tell you, well, God told them where it was. Isn't that right? What else can it be? You look at, for example, a newborn calf. Nobody has to pick up that calf and bring it to where the milk is. As soon as it can get up, it knows where to go. Who taught that baby, 20 minutes old, how to walk? God did that. Who taught all those other cows out there in the field that they were supposed to stay far away out there in the pasture, as far away as they could get, all the way to the corners of the field until that calf was born and clean and walking and nursing and had its legs under it? And then they were allowed to come and see what had been what was done. Who told those other cows to stay away? God told them that. Tell me something. If it takes 15 billion years of evolution for that little calf to figure out how to get that milk, how did they stay alive for 15 million years before they got to this point? You would have to be lacking a few brain cells to believe that, wouldn't you? How can anybody believe that? But you know what happens? As soon as that calf is born, God helps that little calf. God helps that little baby, and it thrills my soul to even think about it. Because I think about the day I was lying on my bed. I hadn't been saved 24 hours. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't have a preacher that led me to the Lord. I didn't have a soul winner that led me to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God came and said, "Son, son, here's the milk. Here's the milk. Son, here's what you need to eat. Son, let me help you get to your feet. Son, let me help you to stand. Son, let me teach you how to walk." God helped me. He did. You know, when you're a brand new babe in Christ, let me tell you something. Do you know who opened your eyes and showed you the truth of this word? Do you know who got you standing those first feeble steps of your new life? Do you know who picked you up when you stumbled a little bit? Do you know who got you on your way when you were a brand new baby Christian? I'll tell you who it was. It was God who helped you. It was God that helped you. I mean, the background that some of you came out of, the crowd that some of you ran with, the people that you hung out with, the things that you were doing. Who told you to get away from those people? Who told you to get in church? Who told you to stop that carrying on, that wickedness? Who told you to start living right? God helped you. God helped you. You know, something that calf has an advantage that you and I will never have. It's mama, it's grandma, and you can take that all the way back to the first cow in the garden. That first cow in the Garden of Eden never touched that tree of knowledge. All of its life, it just goes through life, and everything that it needs to know, God tells it. And not one time will that cow ever say, "Well, yeah, but what about? Yeah, but I think." Well, you know, that's just your interpretation, not one time. And so, all the days of its life, that animal will never have a worry in this world. Ah, if we could just trust Jesus, if we could just follow God like we did that first day we got saved, if we would just let the Lord lead us like He did those first weeks of our salvation, when all God had to do was say, "Jump," and we'd jump. We wouldn't even take the time to ask how high. We'd jump just as high as we could. It was simple then, wasn't it? God helping us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Not only that, God helped me. I want to raise up another stone here, raise up another Ebenezer. Today, God helped me when I was a wayward youth. He helped me when I was a wayward youth, unruly, somewhat rebellious. Okay, there isn't a boy ever been born in this world. There's not a girl ever come into this world that they didn't reach that certain time when they want to start testing the boundaries. They want to start seeing what they can get away with. They want to start going out on their own and trying things. They want to start seeing why mama said, "Don't do that," because, well, maybe it's not so bad. I know daddy said not to go there, but there must be something over there that's worth seeing. And just the adventure of it, you know, let's see if we can get away with it. Every child has been through that. Every boy has done it. Every girl has done it. Children are always like that, seeing what they can get away with, seeing if they can stretch the rules, seeing if they can break the rules and get away with it. You've all done it. I've done it. That's just the nature of the beast. But you know, it's the same way in the Christian life. It's the same way in the Christian life. I don't know how long you've been saved, but I know one thing. If you've been saved for any length of time, you did reach that point in your Christian life where you started trying God. Well, maybe I don't really have to obey that. Well, maybe I can go back and still do that and get away with it. Maybe I won't get caught. You've been through those young years. You've been through those years of wayward youth, experimenting with God, testing God, trying to see if God really meant what he said in his word. You've been through that. But you know something? God has helped me up when I have fallen. And I've taken some falls, messing around. God helped me with his rod, putting a whipping on me to show me that I did not get away with it. God's helped me by welcoming me back as the prodigal's father did when his son returned from the hog pen and put his arms around me and embraced me. God's helped me. But I'll tell you one thing. This rebellious nature that I've got and this hard head that I've got and this desire to try everything at least twice that I've got, if it had not been for the help of God, the devil would have wrecked my Christian walk years ago. If it hadn't been for the help of God, I would have gone out there and gone off on some tangent, gone off in the wrong way, gone out and made some kind of a huge mess. I would have ruined my walk, ruined my testimony, ruined my Christian life as a wayward young Christian had it not been for the help of God. Amen. Amen. Didn't God help you that first time you went back where you shouldn't have gone? Didn't God help you when you got out there messing with something you shouldn't have been messing with? Didn't God help you when that rebellious streak set in? Didn't God help you when you got careless and quit reading that Bible, quit praying like you did when you were a babe in Christ and started going back to those things of the world? Didn't God help you? Couldn't you raise up a stone right now and say, "Here, I raise mine, Ebenezer. I tried to get out of the way. I tried to mess up my walk, and God helped me fast. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Thank God for his help for wayward young Christians, testing the boundaries, seeing how far they could go. Thank God. Oh, he's wonderful. And then not only that, but I can raise up another stone here and say, God helped me when I was a young adult. You know, when you reach your late teens and your early 20s and such as that, you begin your training. You begin to see what your calling in life is, or wanting to see it. You begin to prepare yourself and trying to make yourself ready for your life's work and your service to other men and what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Some people go to college. Some people go to a tech school. Some just learn how to fill out a form so they can get a free government check every month. And some people figure out how to commit crimes so that they can go and live in jail for the rest of their life and get that free meal there. And some start planning a family. And some young men start looking for a bride. Some young women start preparing to be a housemaker. But during those years, we begin to formulate and to develop and to perfect what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. And you know, the same is true in a Christian's life. If you get going along, trying to do things for God, serve God, live for God, the Lord begins to impress upon your heart. The Lord begins to put in your soul. The Lord begins to speak to you through his word and say, "Son, daughter, this is what I want you to do with your life. This is the work that I have for you. This is my calling on your life. This is where I want you to go." This is what I want you to do. This is the part I want you to play in the body of Christ. And God doesn't just give you that and then turn you loose and go away. God doesn't just say, this is what I want you to do. Now you go figure it out. You know what he does? He helps you every step of the way. He helps you every step of the way. I'm telling you, that has been my experience. I was living in California so long ago, and I hadn't been saved long. And one day I just understood that if God had something he wanted me to do, I knew that California wasn't the place where I was supposed to be. I can't really explain that, but I just knew it. So I asked God about that. I asked him to tell me where he wanted me to be. God, I mean, I got on my knees. I prayed, God, I feel like this isn't where you want me to be. Where do you want me to be? I'll go. And this is the truth. I got offered a job in Kuwait the very next morning before I even woke up. And now I didn't know what God had for me to do, but I figured it would be a good start to just go where he wanted me to go. And hopefully then I'd find out what he wanted me to do when I got there. So I came to Kuwait, started attending the church in Kuwait City. And it wasn't long before God sent me into the paths of Brother Bob Jordan, who introduced me to the Navigators discipleship courses. And I completed all those courses. And so about 6 months into Kuwait, I was able to start leading a group through the Growing Strong course. And at that same time, God placed another man in my path who would be a big influence in my spiritual growth, Brother Jim Baer. He was a great motivator, a great encourager. He had some spiritual insights that kept me from straying and wandering down a dark path with the wrong Bible in the wrong church. In fact, it was Brother Jim who suggested that we leave that liberal church in the city and start preaching, just preaching to a few families in his home. And so when God sent me to Kuwait, he didn't have me immediately build this great big church. He didn't have me step in as the pastor of an existing church. He didn't have me address the National Council of Churches. It was just a few people in a discipleship course over here, a few families to study the Bible with over there, and we had that, maybe some of you remember, we had that Jesus video ministry, making all those videos of the Jesus film, and we had a shared responsibility to teach and preach the Bible in a Bible-believing fellowship. That's what God did. And then God sent us a pastor from Pensacola Bible Institute to get me further grounded with some solid Bible training for 3 or 4 years. Now, I didn't know it at the time. I really didn't. But God did not send that man to stay here for good. He sent him here to teach me so that I could stay here and do what he had sent me to do 10 years earlier. And so Pastor Marty Hester, he left Kuwait, ordained me as the pastor because God had been helping me all along the way to get to the point where he wanted me to be. Now, I'm not there yet, and there's been a lot of first-time experiences as a pastor that God helped me get through them because they were things I'd never done before. You know, I don't have a background of having attended a church all my youth and all, you know, growing up as a child, so there was a lot of things I had to figure out, and God showed me. I had never conducted a memorial service for somebody who had died. I never conducted the church ordinances of the Lord's Supper and water baptism. I had to figure out how to do a bands of matrimony for Indian folks who do those sorts of things. And did a renewal of marriage vows for one couple and personal counseling. And I mention these things because I want you to understand in all of these things, God helped me. He made it possible. so that it could get done right and it could be a help and a blessing to someone else. But I can see so clearly how God has been with me in every step of the way. He really has. That's God. And you know what the Lord does? He'll let you go off over here and try something that won't work out. And he'll let you go off over here and try something and it will work out. And you'll go off over there and that door will slam in your face. And you go off over there and try and open that door and it won't come open. And, you know, you look back, you look back years and years later, and all you can do is just come and put up a little Ebenezer and say, I don't know where we go from here, folks. I don't know where we go from here, but we've gone from a little fellowship of a few families in a living room on a Friday morning to what we are today. And there's plenty, sure, there's plenty of room to grow. There's more that we could do. And Lord willing, we will. The Lord helping us, we will. But we'll do it in God's time and we'll do it his way. Because one thing I know, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I don't know where we'll go from here, but I know the Lord has helped us to get to where we are. You know, some of you right now, you young men, young women, young Christians, you say, well, I kind of think God wants me to do that. I kind of feel like the Lord is leading me that way, but I'm just not really sure about that. I'll tell you one thing. You just follow Jesus. You just go where he wants you to go. Do what he wants you to do. You try everything you can think of to try for him, and you watch. You just watch. He will make it work, or he'll make it not work. He'll direct you. He'll let you know what he wants you to do. He will lead you. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. You think about that. God did not lead Abraham until he was willing to follow. Till he made a move, till he started walking in faith. But oh, once he did start out, oh, how God directed him, directed his steps. Amen. Now, what about your family and friends? What about your family and friends? Hasn't God given you the best friends anybody could ever have in this world since you got saved? Well, where did they come from? You didn't know them. You didn't find them. God gave them to you. Look at those who are with us today. Here's Brother James and Sister Diana, who were willing to move into a building so that they could be part of this work and open up their home for the kids' Bible class and provide a restroom for everybody that comes. And we've had other members, Brother Edgar pitching in, helping out with the transportation, music ministry, Brother Song donating his piano, buying up a whole library of children's books at great personal expense to make sure that some of the other church members could have something that they would otherwise not be able to afford. And so many of you have given of your time, of your labor, painting and decorating, cleaning, making sure that our meeting hall was a pleasant place to get together and worship God. Here's a bunch of men with us here who were willing to get in the Bible and study and prepare sermons so that Brother Bob could go to his son's wedding and not have to worry about whether somebody was there in Kuwait proclaiming God's word. And not one time in all these years has there been any envy, any jealousy, any contention about Brother Bob being the pastor, about Brother Bob posting his sermons on the internet. There hasn't been any of that stuff. And that's a blessing to me. And you know where that comes from? That's God. That is God's help. Where does all the money come from that we send out to the missionaries? Where does all that money come from to buy Bibles and give them away? Where's this growth come from without having to use programs and gimmicks and games and all that stuff that churches are using? Where does that come from? God helped us. God helped us. It's been the help of God. There was one time one of my colleagues came into my shop where I was working and said, "Bob, do you mind if I get your opinion about something?" I said, "Okay, if it'll help you, if I can." He said, "Well, when I was on vacation, I invited my brother to go out on this outing with my wife and my daughter to go meet with one of our friends." And he said, "Well, and so my brother also knew that same friend, so I thought it was perfectly natural to invite him along. I invited my brother to come with us." He said, "But after it was all over, I found that my wife got real angry with me. She told me I didn't have any right to invite my brother along, said I was inconsiderate for doing that. And he wanted to know what I thought about that." And I said, "Well, I can't tell you whether it was right or wrong, but I know for sure that if I had invited my brother to join us on an outing, I'm confident that my wife would have supported my decision and would have enjoyed the chance to get to spend some time with someone from my family." And you know what I realized when I consider that? God helped me when he gave me a wife with a spirit like that. And I know it's true. And you know something? You can look around today. I don't know what you think about your pastor, but I want you to know I love you folks. And I tell you, as I look into this computer screen, I see some friends who would do anything in the world for each other. I know many of you have done more for me than I could ever hope for anybody to do. I know if I didn't live so far away from you all, you'd probably be doing more. And, you know, I look at that. I look at my marriage. I look at my friends. I look at the ministry. I look at the support. I just want to put a stone up here today. I want to raise mine Ebenezer. I want to say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Haven't you come to places in your life and you didn't know where to go? You did not know where to turn. You did not know what to do. Haven't you come up to the Red Sea and saw water in front and Pharaoh's army behind and watched God open those waters? Haven't you been out there in that wilderness knowing that you're on your way to a promised land, but not knowing how or where, and seen that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night? Hadn't God helped you this far? Hadn't he done wonderfully and marvelously in getting us from that place where we were lost and on our way to hell to where we are today? Hadn't God helped us? Isn't he worthy of our praises? Doesn't he deserve our love and adoration? Can't we all put up an Ebenezer today and raise that hand toward God and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. He saved me. He nursed me. He got me through those rebellious early years. He helped me lay down the foundation for the rest of my life. He brought me such family and friends as I could ever have hoped for, guided and directed all the way. It's all been God. It's all been his doing. He deserves all the praise, all the honor, all the glory." You know, I'd like someday to get up there to heaven. We'll all have more than a million years, each one of us, just to talk about what God has done for us. But I'd really like someday to be in the place where 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I could be serving the Lord on a full-time basis, to be called to that. I would appreciate that. You know, I know some people, even God's people, instead of rejoicing with you, they resent somebody having a good job and making a good wage. But you know what? When I lived in California, I had what I'd consider to be a good job, but it was an average wage, which didn't go very far in a place like California. Average wage doesn't really work in California. So I was renting one small room in a bad neighborhood near the prison, working on computers in the daytime, delivering pizzas in the nighttime, just to try to make ends meet. But when I took this job in Kuwait, I was able to get out of debt in the first 6 months that I was here. And I haven't had to struggle to make rent or to meet my obligations ever since I got here to Kuwait. Not only that, but during my first 15 years here, I only worked 5 days a week and 6 hours a day, 6 hours a day. Who could ask for more? That was the perfect situation, not only to pay my bills, but to have more time to study and prepare for the ministry. I'm telling you, I went from being a lost sinner to where I'm speaking to you here today. And I wouldn't one time tell you what I did for God. Never. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It's been God. Didn't he save you? Didn't he establish you? Didn't he teach you? Has he not protected you? Hasn't he loved you? Hasn't he met your needs? Hasn't he guided and directed you through this life? Now, let me ask you something. The Bible says, I am the Lord. I change not. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But if he's taken such good care up to now, is there any reason at all to fear tomorrow? Is there any reason at all to worry about tomorrow? Friends, you know something? I look at this Bible, never mind that Armageddon. Never mind that Antichrist. Never mind that great tribulation. That Bible says he raised us up together with him and made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. I am so sure of getting home safe to heaven. God's already written it down as having been done. Do you believe that God's going to change this Bible? Do you believe God's going to have to revise his words, change what he already said? Do you believe the Lord's going to have to rewrite the scriptures? Well, you know what that means. I'm home safe. I'm home free. And one day on the golden streets of glory, we'll stand together. We'll lift up our voices to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll sing, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come." He's led us safe this far, and he's going to lead us all the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your help along the way from the day that you saved our souls from hell by your precious blood until whatever step we're on right now. Lord, I pray for those who are in their early days of their salvation, babes in Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to lead them and help them and show them where they can get that spiritual food that they need to grow. I pray for the wayward youths, Lord. I pray for those older Christians who may be trying to test your word and see what they can get away with. I pray, Lord, that you continue to show them that you meant what you said. Give them that rod of correction where needed. I pray, Lord, that you'd give direction to the little bit older Christians and show them what your calling is on their life and direct them in the right ways, close the doors where they need to be closed. And I pray, Lord, for where we are today in our church. Lord, we're not shut down because of this pandemic, but Lord, we'd like to do more. And we are a little bit restricted, but we know you haven't given up on us, Lord. So we ask you to help us to know how we can serve you better here in Kuwait. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.